Turn with me again, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. I have titled this message, A Message for Mother's Day. The calling of a true preacher of the gospel is to preach the gospel. The calling of a true preacher of the gospel is to preach the gospel. It is to tell men and women the truth of their condition before God outside of Christ and or in Christ. That's the calling. That's the commission. There are only two conditions that all men and women will go stand before God in. We will either be in Christ or out of Christ. That's the only two conditions that people go meet God in. All men and women are going to fall into one of those two categories. It doesn't matter whether a person sees himself or herself. We see ourselves to be things. And it doesn't matter whether we see ourselves as being religious in this life or unreligious in this life. Profitable in this life or unprofitable in this life. An example that others should follow or a drunk in the gutter. Either way, all souls are going to go meet God in one of two conditions, either in Christ or out of Christ. I am convinced that the average man and woman, and I will say that but for the grace of God, I would include myself and anybody in this. But I'm convinced that the average man and woman has no idea what the true reality of his or her condition before God is. I would say that the average man or woman does not know the true reality of their condition before God. I am convinced of that. I'm convinced of that. I am convinced that a massive number of people today, even in Kingsport, Tennessee, I'm convinced that a massive number of people today believe that they are standing before God in Christ, when in reality they are not standing before God in Christ. They are standing before God in themselves. The soul that stands before God in himself, outside of Christ, that soul will not be saved. Because I am convinced that that is the case for a very large number of people, that's what motivates me to want to preach the truth and preach the gospel to people. That is my motivation. That is my motivation because I am absolutely convinced that there are masses and masses of people who do not know their true standing before God, and they think they're in Christ, but they're not. They're in themselves. To be in Christ is to be in Christ. To be out of Christ is to be in ourselves. We're going to go stand before God in ourselves. In our works, in our will, in our thoughts, in our way. Because so many people are in that condition, that's what motivates me to want to tell people the truth. And that's what motivates me to want to preach the gospel to people. Our Lord said that He would call sinners to salvation through someone telling the truth of the gospel to them. Think about that all the time. As a fleshly man, you think, well, maybe I ought to pull back just a little bit. Maybe I ought to just water it down, gloss it over. You don't want to offend people and run them off. Our Lord said He would use the honesty of the truth. That's what He said He would use. To call sinners out of darkness into His glorious light. While the average person believes that everything is okay and everybody's okay, our Lord said that the reality of the truth being declared to men and women that everything is not okay and everybody is not okay. Our Lord said that honesty, that honest declaration, that's what He would use to pull men to Himself. Out of blindness, out of their condemned standing in themselves, into the light and salvation that is in Christ. Because God said the declaration of the truth is what He would use to save men and women, that's why we preach it. That's the reason why we preach it. And if God uses the declaration to save, if He does, if He sends it out, and if He uses it, and if He saves, this is how He said He would do it. This is what will happen. Those who are saved through the declaration of the truth will believe it. They will be given faith. They will believe it. Those who are not saved through the declaration will not believe it. May God give every person in this room, including me, faith to believe the true declaration of His Word, the true declaration of His gospel. Now, let's see what His Word has to say right here. Colossians 2. I felt led to just continue to the next verse. We just looked at verses 11 and 12 in the Bible study, and I felt led for this morning to continue to the next verse. Verse 13 says, "And you being dead." Now, let me ask this question. Did you know that you are dead? In our natural condition that we are born into, we are born into this world, and here we are. We've been here a while. We've grown up. In our natural condition, the way that we are right now in our flesh, did we know that we are dead? Those who have received the faith of Christ will say, "Yes, I knew that, and I believe that." And those who have not received the faith of Christ will say, "No, I didn't know that. And I don't believe that. And I don't even know what you're talking about." The word of our Lord is not talking about being dead in our physical life on this earth. Our bodies are animated. Our minds think. Our hearts beat. We eat. We work. None of us, nobody in this room, has yet reached the physical deadness of the flesh. Nobody here right now has reached that. But that's not the death that He's talking about. Verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins." He's talking about spiritual deadness. Spiritual deadness. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And he's talking about a spiritual deadness. When we look at ourselves in our flesh, we see ourselves as being alive. And it's because all we can see is our physical condition. This is all we can see. But when God looks at us in our flesh, he sees us as being dead. And it's because he sees our spiritual condition before him. We have a spiritual condition before God. The wages of sin is death. And when a soul sins, it happens immediately. It is immediate. The moment Adam sinned, he spiritually died. And because we all came from him, we all died in him. In Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, the reason why I have titled this message, A Message for Mother's Day, is because I want everybody's mother to know this. I want everybody's mother to know this. I really do. I really, really do. I want everybody's mother to know this. I got to thinking about today, thinking about this holiday. I started thinking about my mother, who I'm so thankful to say and believe in my soul. The Lord gave her faith to believe this, and he has called her home. But I started thinking about my mother. I started thinking about your mother. And 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 your mother. And your mother. And I started thinking about how much I love them. I love your mother. And having this opportunity, having the special attention of our mothers, I thought, if I love them, what should I say to them? If I love them, what should I say to them? Should I just give them a flowery, pageanty service and then send them on out into the judgment? Give everybody a flower and we'll, okay, we'll go meet God. Should I do that? No. Not if I love them. Not if I love them. If I love our mothers, I will tell them, do not leave this world outside of Christ. The soul that God gives faith to hear that will cry, how do I get in Christ? Please put me in Christ. That's a spiritual soul that has been made alive. The dead soul and you being dead. The dead soul just lays there. The soul that has been quickened to life will cry, please, help me, do something. We are all spiritually dead before God, and we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Being a mother doesn't save us. Everybody thinks that their mama goes to heaven. Everybody thinks that. Being a mother doesn't save us. The only hope that we have is being in Christ. All of us. Because of our spiritual deadness, our natural spiritual deadness, there are no works that we can perform that God will accept. Now, mama's a good mama now. She reads her Bible every day and she this and she now. You all see my mama. There are no physical works of the flesh that God will accept. None are good enough. None are good enough. The only hope we have is being in Christ. I want our mothers to know that. There is nothing good in us. There's nothing worthy in us. The only hope of eternal life is the goodness and the worthiness and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to declare to not only our mothers, but to all of us, the truth of what Christ has done for every soul in Him. And if come the end of this declaration, we have been given faith to cry, I believe that. I truly believe that. I believe every word about me. And I believe every word about Him. I believe that. And I rejoice in that. If God gives us faith to believe His truth and His gospel, then we can leave this world with the hope of being in Christ. I pray that this right here is said about my mother, your mother, and all of us too. Verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13. It says, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Is there anything more that you want for your mother than that right there? Anything more? He said, you being dead, hath God, Father, Son, and Spirit, quickened you together with the Lord Jesus Christ. That means He has given life to you. He's given spiritual life to you. That's what I want for you mothers. Eternal life. I've never been more sincere in all my life. I started the Bible study by saying Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I want eternal life for you. I want eternal life for you. People play games. They live on this earth. They make life about family and dinners. And I'm not just talking about mothers. I'm talking about all people. But then they leave this world and then they realize, oh my goodness, oh dear God, there was one thing needful. I want it for you. I want it for you. Eternal life. You may not have, you know, June Cleaver household perfection. And things may not turn out as good as you had them calculated in your mind. Being a mother's hard. I know. I know it is. I know it is. But I tell you this, if the Lord Jesus Christ would give you eternal life, if He would quicken you together with the Lord Jesus Christ because He lives, if He would make it so that you would too, you'll leave this world with the hope of glory. Things may not turn out exactly like you hoped down here, but you have a sure hope up there. I'm talking glory. Glory with Christ. I just cannot convey how deeply I want this for you. Verse 13 says, in you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Dear mothers, I pray this for you. May you be covered under the blood. May your sins be covered under the blood. May the sins of your children. This is because mothers love their children so deeply. This is what I pray for you. May the sins of your children be covered under the blood. May the sins of your husbands be covered under the blood. Every soul that is given spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ and is covered under the blood that He shed as a sacrifice to God for you. Every soul that is covered under that blood is forgiven all their trespasses. That is good news for mothers. I thought about titling this Good News for Mothers. Mothers who have sin on their guilty conscience, just like the rest of us. Mothers, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Beg God for the blood. Acknowledge the blood of the Lamb of God as being your only hope before Him. Your only hope. Children, plead the blood. Men, plead the blood. Beg God for the blood. Acknowledge that blood for what it is. It is your and my and all of our only hope before God. Because verse 13, it says, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision," that means the outcast condition of your flesh, "hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us." This is saying that because of our sin against God's law, it's saying we have sin. Mothers, we have sin. That's what it's saying. We have sin. Transgression. And because of our sin against God's law, because we were contrary to God's law is contrary to us. And it has an ordinance against us for every single one of our transgressions. It says, "You did this, therefore you're owed this. And you did that, therefore you're owed that." An ordinance for every transgression. Ordinance after ordinance. Judgment, punishment, condemnation, ordinance after ordinance. But this is what Christ did. He took them all away. He took every ordinance. He said, "Here, give me that. Give me that one too. Give me that. Take that. Did you get a ticket? Give it to me. Give all the ordinances to me." He took every ordinance from His people. And how did He do that? Verse 14, the end of it says, "He nailed every one of them to His cross." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Every ordinance, He took it right there and He nailed it to His cross. Every condemnation, all of them for all of His people, He nailed every single one to His cross. And He paid the price for every single one of them. Every ordinance that was there. And every soul that He did that for, God will send faith to that soul and He'll cause that soul to believe that. And He'll send peace and He'll send rest. And that soul will stop saying, "What about all these ordinances that I have?" That faith will cause that soul to look to Christ and we'll see they're all nailed to the cross of my Savior. Every ordinance. That soul will believe that the reason Christ died is because I was a sinner. Not a saint in my flesh, a saint only after the work of Christ, only in Christ. I was a sinner. I was a sinner against Him. If faith comes to our mothers, this is what they'll say. I was a sinner against Him. I am a sinner against Him. So sinful, I died in that sin spiritually. So sinful, I had ordinances stacked against me by God's law that I could never pay. But God gave me life with Christ. He gave me forgiveness in His blood. He took all the ordinances against me. He nailed them to His cross. He paid my debt in full, and He set me free. Every sinner He did that for, He'll give that sinner faith to believe it. Now, I pray that all of you mothers and your children, this is my final word to you. This is my sincere prayer. If you are here today and you have a mother or have ever had a mother at any point in your life, if you're a person who came into this world with a mother, if you fall into that category, then I sincerely pray that you, your mother, and her children, I'm praying for your mother and her children. I pray that God will give us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God will give us faith to bow to Him, faith to acknowledge Him for what He's done, and with that faith, the hope of eternal life. I pray eternal life for us. What a day, glorious day that would be. It will all be unto our father and our husband at that point. May the Lord be with us. All right, Brother Eddie.